Gracious God, as we turn to your word for us, may the Spirit of God rest upon us. Help us to be steadfast in our hearing, in our speaking, in our believing, and in our living. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people. It is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands that I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall no longer fear or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is righteousness. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our responsive reading today comes from Psalm 42. Let us pray the passage responsively, listening for a word or phrase that especially speaks to us. In the moment of silence after the reading, we may hold the words we heard in our hearts and allow them to inspire our own prayer to God. Let us pray with God's word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, let not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea.
Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be removed. God will help it when the morning dawns.
The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The word of the Lord.
As I mentioned earlier, this is both Thanksgiving Sunday and Christ the King. And that helps bring a little bit more focus why Luke 23 of all passages. For this is a challenging one to hear, the crucifixion of Jesus. But in it we hear about Christ's character and who exactly this King is that we say we follow. Reading the Gospel. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots and divided his clothing. And the people stood watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can I have the children down front, young disciples, please? I have a feeling, you're going to come also?
Why not?
Why not? Okay. So, I'm going to guess that you have heard at least once before the story of Thanksgiving.
The real one or not real one?
I'm tempted to know what you mean by the not real one.
Pop culture.
Do you mean the fake one that they tell you in school or the one that actually happened?
Let's go with the one they tell you in school.
No debate.
So you know about the people coming over from the old world and them having a hard year, and that they had their first real harvest and they had a celebration. And when they celebrated with their first harvest, they did it by themselves, right? What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know. Do you remember?
One person feast.
No. One person feast.
I don't know. Yeah, there were other people there.
Who were the other people?
The Native Americans.
Later. We'll talk about that some other point in time. But that's also kind of an important one to realize. You see, the Native Americans came and helped. They saw the celebration that the colonists were having. They understood that they had a hard year, and they came and shared some of what they had to participate with them.
And then later the colonists killed them.
Yes. Like I said, we'll talk about that part later. And it's helpful for us to remember that Thanksgiving, where it begins, at least with that story, is a story of sharing. We are definitely thankful, and we did a practice with that earlier with our papers, but it's also very important to remember that the beginning of this whole holiday was sharing with each other, sharing with people who are like us, and having people who are very different from us share with us too. So one of the challenges we have this week is, while we have family and friends come in and a lot of celebrations, is to think about how we can still share. And we hear that, particularly in our first reading, but also in our last one to a degree, about sharing as God gives us direction to be good people and to take care of others. Can you think of any ways that you can share with other people?
No.
No. An honest answer, but I appreciate it. How about at school?
What about it?
How about on the playground? Is there a way you can share on the playground?
No.
NJ, you know better than that.
There's nothing I can think of.
Okay, well, that's true. You can share sometimes in being a helper or playing with kids who don't have someone to play with, including them in your games, which I know you have a lot of games you play on the playground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really.
You are just in a mood today, aren't you? We can share sometimes by holding the doors for people. We can share them with them some of the food we have. And we can share our gladness and joy with them. How do you feel when someone shares a smile with you?
How does that work? There you go.
I meant when someone smiles at you and someone is being nice to you. Makes you feel better or worse?
It depends what amount of nice, because at some point a nice does seem passive aggressive. So it depends on what did they do beforehand.
I'm just in general. Just in general.
Exactly, it depends.
NJ. I'm just going to give up now.
Good call.
This is.
Just maybe stop. You're going to be here all day.
W.C. Fields once said, never work with animals or children.
Well, you're failing.
Grr. But we all have ways we can share. Even adults do. We can share in our kindness, we can share of our resources, we can share in just a whole bunch of different ways. Let's just remember that as we are thankful and as we have wonderful celebrations, that we can also share. And maybe I'll share candy with you. What do you think? No? Okay. Let's join together for a quick word of prayer. Holy God, encourage us to share in this holiday, to love others as you love them. Help us to be sharing, loving people. Amen.
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go.
I'm sorry. Do you need to end up? No.
There's a special joy having in front of an audience your own child poke at you. I'm glad he's going to Sunday school now. Just kidding. He does keep me on my toes. It's funny, my father will spend time with Nathaniel, they're great friends. And they'll go out and walks together. And he'll come back after having Nathaniel chew his ear off for half an hour on a walk. And I say, welcome back, Dad. It's good to have you back. And the first thing he looks for me and goes, you know I hold you in prayer, don't you? Yes, I do. Thank you. It's an important quality in raising children. So, hopefully you find this funny, too. We'll see. Some of you know that when I was doing my undergrad, I spent some of the time in study over in Munich, Germany. It was a wonderful time, and it was a terrible time. And I'll share one of the terrible stories now, and if you ever want, I'll inundate you with the rest of them. I love to do things early. I have been doing things early for a very long time. And one of the things I decided to do early was to get a gallstone. I got a gallstone at 19. I didn't realize that. I went to the theater in Germany with my friends, and they tell me, I said, I'm not feeling well. And I stood up to leave, and the next thing I know, I woke up in an ambulance. So here I am in an ambulance in another country with a language I speak moderately. And I look up, and all I remember is there's this beautiful young German lady. And I'm thinking, what's my luck? She looks over at me in concern and goes, and I can remember this so clearly, "Do you have insurance?" And I think to myself, I'm in trouble. And a lot of things went through my mind thinking, this is the end of Matthew. This is not going to end well. And when I was at that point, wondering if my insurance was good in another country, I remember thinking about all the things as a 19-year-old I wish I had done before my time had come. And a lot of them were, you know, getting married, having kids, goofing off, travel, finishing my degree, and a whole bunch of other things. But they were all me things. And so often when we come to our last days, or the fear of them, they can be filled with me things. And that's not unreasonable. That's very human. When we are caught unaware with our mortality, and we wonder, is we going to have tomorrow, we can often wonder, what did I do? Did I accomplish? I'm sure that most of us have had some form of, maybe not near-death experience, but some scary time where we wondered, what will happen in the next couple of hours? It's very interesting, therefore, when we hear the last hours of Jesus. In the last hours of Jesus, we do not hear, "Oh, if only I would have worked more. Oh, if only I had made more friends, or I had finished this or gone off on that." I language, me language, is removed from his last moments on earth. Instead, in his last moments, what he chooses to do with those last couple of breaths is to forgive. What he chooses to do with his last moments is to reconcile people to God, to bring them back into relationship, to ask God to help them even when they do not know what they're doing to him. Here he is being tortured in a most horrendous manner, and he is not saying anything about, "Take this pain from me," but rather, "God, forgive them." And even when he's being yelled at and cursed at by the others on the cross and those around him, he turns to his fellow and goes, "I'm welcoming you to my home today. I'm going to make sure there's a place for you." So if we ever wonder who it is that we choose to serve, it is this. It is the Christ who in his last hours forgives, reconciles, and welcomes home. It's so easy to get wrapped up in our busyness. We certainly will have busyness this week, whether we're traveling or having family in, or going someplace else. But as you know very well, the busyness does not end on Thursday morning. We have, of course, the biggest shopping weekend total. And then we're right into Advent and Christmastide. And there is just an incredible level of things that have to happen between this Sunday and December 25th. And it is so easy, and I think I'm probably as guilty as anybody. No, I know I'm as guilty as anybody. To sometimes come to the busyness of this season and become some form of a bah humbug. To respond with aggression, anger, and frustration at all the extra people on the road and in the checkout lane of the shopping market. It's so easy to let the frustrations rule in our hearts throughout this season and the season to come. It's so easy to allow ourselves to come down to our most base of attitudes and behaviors. But maybe if we remember that the season is kicked off by remembering the sacrifice of Christ, we can have a different attitude this year. If we remember that Christ, even throughout his most challenging of time, practiced love, thanksgiving, welcoming, and reconciliation, then I can be a little bit more forgiving when I'm in traffic or I'm caught in an extra busy place at shopping or there's one extra phone call at work or any other of a number of ways that the holidays can push on our nerves. Remembering that this is a season, both the Thanksgiving and Advent, not so much about the stuff, but rather about our King. The King we choose to identify with when we call ourselves Christian. When we take his name for ourselves in such a way as we identify with him. Maybe with his help, I can have the same in my last words and my last effort. Focusing not so much on me and mine and having enough energy, patience to get through a day, but rather to focus on how can I serve even these people? How can I practice, as Jesus did, forgiving them for they do not know what they're doing? And in that, understand something else that's so very true. When we mimic our Lord Christ on the cross, and we practice these behaviors of love, forgiveness, and reconciliation, we live with a much more unburdened heart. Do a thought experiment with me for a second. If you wish, close your eyes if it's easier. If you don't, that's fine too. And imagine yourself on the beltway, stuck in traffic, and you're 15 minutes late. And you know how you are already feeling. The muscles are all tense. You're gritting your teeth. You know you're late. And then someone cuts you off and takes your spot on the next exit. And into your mind comes a whole bunch of words that you know should not exist. At that moment, we are the burdened ones. At that moment, the vitriol and acid is in our life. Same situation. Someone cuts you off in holiday traffic. And you choose to answer as Jesus did, Lord, forgive them. Lord, forgive them. May they get safely where they are going. That vitriol and acid is removed. We'll be just as late in both cases. That's not going to change. But we won't be bogged down by it. It's so odd that we hear this in the crucifixion. What sometimes is appearing the loss of Jesus. But I'd like to encourage us to see that this is actually a final teaching for how we can share a calmer way in our world. Jesus chose in the midst of all the challenges that he was facing, which is much worse than anything we deal with in our life, to live with forgiveness and love, and to welcome others into paradise. May we echo that. And as so doing, live a freer world and freer life, understanding that we don't have to respond to terrible and challenging situations with anger and frustration. May our King and Lord encourage us daily in our walk with him. I like that. Couldn't time that better. Yep. Hey, sometimes my boss says a variety of things to me. Remembering that Christ is our King and Lord, let us share now in the song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let us stand together and sing.